Genesis, God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you." When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a holocaust in place of his son. Again the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my command." Ebon Domine.
Thank you.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? Christ Jesus it is who died, or rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us.
Tebum Domine.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum San Marcum. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. They hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. There was once an elderly gentleman who presented himself at the door of the rectory, ringing the doorbell, waiting for someone to answer, and sure enough, the pastor came to the door. The pastor could tell immediately that the man was downtrodden, had something weighing on his heart, and needed to get something off of it. And so he asked him to come in, brought him into the parlor, and sat down. And the man, the elderly gentleman, began to speak to the priest. But first, he had a question of his own. He said, Father, I'm not a Catholic, but I've heard that Catholics have this deal with God, that if I tell you something that's weighing on my heart, that you will indeed be able to keep it a secret and not tell anyone. And the priest realized exactly what he was referring to, and he said, well, yes, this is true. You're referring to the sacrament of reconciliation. And there's something known as the seal of confession. If you tell me something, I can't reveal that to anyone. He He says, well, Father, that's what I want to do. I want to go to confession. And the priest said, well, you have to understand, not being a Catholic, I can't let you enter formally into the sacrament, but I can treat it as if it were the sacrament itself, and I can promise you I'll never reveal anything that you say to me. And the man said, that's good enough for me, Father. He said, I've been a gainfully employed and successful businessman for a long time. I worked for a very highly successful lumber company. Ever since I was a young boy, I've worked for this company and worked my way up through the ranks. And just last week, I retired. I retired with great honors. A gold watch, the whole nine yards. A big dinner, everyone was there. And they lauded me and thanked me for all the service that I had given to the company. But Father, he says, I feel terrible, absolutely terrible. He said, well, what's the matter? And the man said, well, ever since I started working at that company, I always took something home with me, something that didn't belong. It might be a little piece of lumber, might be a handful of nails, might be something like that, but always I would take something home with me each and every day I worked for that company for the past 30 years. And now I feel like I need to tell God about that and say that I'm sorry, because, Father, that was just stealing. And the priest said, I understand what you mean. When we live a life, we've been sinful. There comes a time when we have to reckon with God, and we need to let go of that. So you've come to the right place, and you're doing the right thing by telling God about this. He says, Father, I feel better about it already. And the priest said, well, usually what we do in a situation like this is we give the penitent, and that's you, a penance, something to do to try to make up for what's happened. And the man said, Father, I'll do anything you ask me to do. Father thought for a second. He said, you know, he knew enough about confession. Maybe he'll know about this too. And he turned to the gentleman and said, do you know how to make a novena? The man startled for just a second. Eyes grew wide. Then a big smile came on his face. He said, absolutely not, Father. But if you got the plans, I got the lumber. I tell you that little story because oftentimes we're pretty much like that guy who took a little bit of something home that didn't belong to him each and every day. But it's from our sinfulness, actually, our robbing from the Lord, something that belongs to Him, that actually our salvation comes into the world. In the omnipotence of God, and in His great mercy and His great love for us, He took our sinfulness, twisted it all around, and made it the means of our salvation. Our robbing from the Lord of that glory which is truly due Him by our sinfulness, for our doing what is wrong, and that ultimately led to the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, is exactly the same way and means by which we will come to know our salvation. That salvation we glimpsed the type of, or the way in which it will appear to us, a little bit in today's gospel. And the readings, both the first reading and today's gospel, are all about prefiguring. The prefiguring of what the crucifixion was going to be about. The prefiguring of what our state will be as saved men and women in the heavenly kingdom. In our first reading today, we saw Abraham taking his son Isaac up to the mountain. Abraham knows full well what he's about to do. The Lord has asked him to sacrifice his son. Unfortunately, from our first reading, a part of this story gets edited out. And I think it's a very important part, too. Because Isaac, at one point in the story, turns to his father and he says, Father, we have the wood, but we have no sacrifice for the Holocaust. And Abraham looks upon his son. What a wounded heart he must have had, knowing exactly what was about to happen to his son. Knowing that his son indeed was to be the sacrifice, but his son did not realize that. What a wounded, painful heart that father must have had when he had to turn to his son and say, do not worry, son. The Lord Himself will provide the Holocaust. That same wounded heart that any father would have felt in a situation similar must be something akin to the wounded heart our father felt when he had to give his son over for us too. Knowing, however, with great joy and gladness, that the son would indeed be obedient to his command to give of himself completely and totally. And for who? For the love of each and every one of us. The ancient separation, death, which kept us from coming home to our God, would no longer be operative in the life of human beings. We would be able to know intimately and return home completely to the God who made us and the way in which he had initially decided that this should happen by the sacrifice of his son. And so, wounded heart or not, sadness or no, he gladly gave his only son so that we might return home to him, to the Father who loves us. This story of Abraham prefigures that very story of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we see, Abraham does not have to sacrifice his son. Instead, he finds a ram whose horns have been caught in the thicket. And he takes that ram and sacrifices it. But something is missing. A lamb must be sacrificed. A lamb is the offering that must be given. And on that hill of Moriah, of which I understand Calvary is also a part of the mountain chain of Moriah, one day a lamb would be offered. Not that day with Isaac and Abraham, but on the day of our salvation with Jesus Christ, who dies on Calvary, part of the hill chain of Moriah, the lamb to be sacrificed so that we might return home. More prefiguration happens in the readings of today as well. Prefigurations in the gospel about what our life is going to become because of the sacrifice that was made for us. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary leads ultimately not to sadness and desperation, but to joy and gladness because of resurrection. Although Peter, James, and John couldn't see it, it was right before them, but they couldn't understand it, so much so they had to discuss amongst themselves what rising from the dead meant. They saw before their eyes exactly what that rising of the dead meant. Being transfigured into light, into a body of light that shone with brilliance, a brilliance that could only be animated by love, and a love most pure and most complete. Jesus Christ shows us what love can bring us to, what the fullness of humanity is destined for. We're destined to be like him on the Mount of Tabor in today's gospel, to shine with light, to shine with holiness, to shine with complete, utter, total love. The love that as simple human beings we truly don't know how to show to one another and to our God. But with perseverance, with prayerful, steadfast, faithful perseverance, the Lord brings us ever more deeply into that furnace of love which is His Sacred Heart. He shows us through His Son what we are destined to become. St. Paul says that in this world we see as if through a glass darkly, but today, in this transfiguration gospel, we glimpse for just a moment what it means to pierce through the darkness of that glass through which we see and to see the brilliance and the beauty of what it means to be a human being. This is why the Lord created us. To shine with light. To shine with holiness. And in so doing, to give praise and glory to His creation, the most beloved of all of His creations, human beings. It is a testament to the love that God bears for us. The times that we travail through, these 2,003 years now since the coming of our Lord, it is a testament to the Lord's love for us that He waits so long to return because He loves us so much and wants to bring all humanity home with Him. And so as we reflect upon this gospel, as we let it animate our spiritual lives for the rest of the week, let us remember that today, for just a moment, we've glimpsed what it means to be a human being. To be a human being created by God and filled with the holiness that we were meant to be filled with. We glimpsed Jesus Christ, our Savior, transfigured from His mortal body into His glorified body, promising us the same should we remain faithful to His gospel message. Brothers and sisters, if we reflect upon that message and carry it deep within our hearts, there will be no way no way in this world or the next that we cannot share that message with everyone who comes into contact with us. The light is truly a beautiful light. Let us share that light with all to whom the Lord sends into our lives, so that the light of Christ may truly spread to this world and His love may change our hearts and minds such that we become the men and women who were created to be.